Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Tatira. And we've been talking over the last few weeks, actually, a lot about mediumship. And I want to continue that because it's like all of a sudden Spirit's kind of taking me on this interesting journey about different kinds of mediumship. And I think it's very interesting. For me, who have, I've been in it for a long time. I've been in metaphysics, you know, a good 25 years publicly, and before that as a student. But yet I'm awakening to a whole new reality. And so I'd love to share that with you today as we talk on subjects of all kinds of metaphysics. But I'm going to start with mediumship. I was just at a John Holland workshop not that long ago, and several of my students were with me. And one of them asked what I saw, and I was stunned for a moment. I was a little taken aback because I realized in that moment that they were not seeing what I was seeing. And I stood there hesitating for a moment because I was like, I forget that not everybody sees the world as I do. And I think we all have those moments where when we hear somebody talking and we realize that we're seeing a whole different image than that other person or the other people talking at that moment. And so I realized that I needed to talk about that. So I told my student, well, I see a man to the right of John's shoulder, and I see him from the shoulder up, and I described what that looked like, and I said what I heard the man saying. And then within a very few minutes, really literally, John said what I had said. And then my student asked me if I saw everyone who came through in the same way. And I said, no, some are just like energy, so they're like almost a puff of cloud or a wisp of smoke. Others have form. You'll see them like you would see any human being standing there. And yet others are just like a flat photo. And I realized that all of a sudden I hadn't been as good a teacher as I thought. So in that moment, my student really became my teacher, and I had to look at the things that I forget to say because I take them for my own normal. And it made me wonder how many people do that. How many people are really seeing amazing metaphysical experiences, seeing spirit, hearing spirit, having these experiences that become their norm, or because they're outside of their norm, they justify them away and pretend they didn't happen and try and explain them. So a whole new avenue or idea about how I need to break it down became very important to me. It gave me a better level of how I really want to be a teacher. And so it was a very interesting way for me to start exploring how I need to break things down for people. I also remembered that the first time I ever saw John Edwards on his show, and he started talking about how spirits line up behind people helps him to know where they are in the family order. And I went, wow, that's how it works for me. And he was talking about that they line up behind the person. Say, if you're facing someone, they would line up to the right of the person, is usually the mother's side, the mother and their side, the uncles, so forth and so on. If they're behind the mother and the people to the side of the mother, then it would be grandparents and so on. If it was on the left, it tended to be the father's side. And then if they were in front of the person, lower, that would be siblings, you know, cousins, relatives in that order. And I can remember asking out loud to my TV, oh, my God, I wonder if it's that way for everybody, and we just haven't talked to each other. We as a clairvoyance or mediums haven't said, oh, you know, this might be a norm or a pattern. And the minute I asked that out loud to my TV, my guide said, no, it's different for people. It happens to be that you and John Edward have asked Spirit to make that a pattern for you, a symbol and a systematic pattern for you to understand how people are related when you get messages. So I thought that was so amazing. to me, because then I really realized that it may not be true for all mediums, but I do believe as you work with your spirit guides, your angels, your guides, your gatekeepers, your passed over loved ones, whoever becomes your working partner relationship on the other dimension, that you can ask them to help you learn patterns and a system that's your system. In fact, we do have, you know, our own form of cosmic alphabet as we do this work. For John Edwards, he's watched a lot of TV. He uses a lot of TV symbology in his work, and also relatives. Sometimes he'll see relatives, certain relatives, to get names or occupations. That happens for me sometimes, too. For example, sometimes I'll see my dad in his work overalls, and I'll know that either the person's name is Richard, or that person may have been a jack-of-all-trades, a maintenance-type person that, you know, was a maintenance man for a building or a mechanic. There's symbols. If I see stacked books with an apple on it, that's my symbol for a teacher. So as you begin to do your work, as you begin to practice with your spirit helpers, one reason I really talk my students and tell them that they really should keep journals is because part of that journaling helps you to learn your cosmic alphabet. I've talked about before, for me, boxes in front of you, to the sides of you, on either side of you, means there's a physical move. If it's in front of you, usually somebody's trying to make you fit in the box. So all of these are aspects and tools that we're putting in our spiritual toolbox as we work towards mediumship or clairvoyance. So as we were continuing to watch this public display of mediumships, I also remembered that often people with the same kinds of losses tend to wind up in the same areas. The law of attraction is in effect whether we're aware of it or not. And so in this particular workshop, it was open seating, and yet when John went to do his work, sure enough, in one section were people who had lost children. In another section, there were people who had, was mainly about husbands, passed over husbands. And yet another section was like the suicide section. You hate to say that, but again, without knowing it in a subconscious level, the law of attraction was in action. And everything has energy or vibration, whether we want, you know, are aware of it or not. And so the attraction of energy happened. And often I think spirit also intervenes and says, group these people like this, because there's a spiritual support system on the other side as well as here. And often I really do believe that spirit brings people together. For example, in the events of suicide, those people are grappling with such guilt-type things and unanswered questions, usually not getting to say goodbye. They're so much caught up in their energy and the woulda, shoulda, couldas, if onlys, on this side as well as sometimes on the other side, that I believe when people are grouped together, there's a healing energy that seems to benefit. And so there, it seems like there's, you know, spirits working on both sides, that healing's taking place on both sides. And people begin to talk to each other that are in the audience, and they find a camaraderie and a support system. And often people who have been in this kind of workshop will become friends and for many, many years and become a support system to each other. So their spirit's putting people in the right place at the right time. John Holland is an amazing medium, and he teaches with such compassion. And it's so difficult to walk into a room full of over 500 people and know that you cannot help them all. People say, why does he spend so much time on one person? I heard it over and over as we were helping out with this event and experiencing it. And it's hard to explain how mediumship, how this work works sometimes. When you're in tune with the passed over person, it's you know, people say, well, why did that person get through and not my loved one? Well, sometimes people who get through are the most consistent energy. They're the most needy sometimes. And sometimes it's the most pushy entity. And because sometimes, you know, I'm not just people and bigger than life energy on this side. They get attention. And sometimes it's the same way on the other side. They kind of get in line and butt in line. And you got to realize that everything is orchestrated by spirit on the other side. You're the instrument. It doesn't mean you have control over who gets in the door. You have a spirit guide or a gatekeeper for that, that they're kind of trying to sort out how to get the energy, who's in the most need, how can we get through, how things should proceed. But you, as the instrument, can't say, oh, I only want, you know, A through F or whatever. You only want a certain thing to come through. You're just the telephone. You're picking up the telephone and being the conduit for this kind of experience. The other interesting thing is that when you're in the energy, you're given bits and pieces to give out. There is sort of this interesting kind of lag between the information you get and the translation. And I don't mean that the medium's translating. I'm meaning that things come in pictures, sounds, tones, images that you have to go, okay, am I really, is this picture you're giving me to see that this room got painted, or am I supposed to be focusing on the picture on the wall? What part of this, your symbolism, am I trying to translate there? So as the medium, you have to try and get, what is this piece, and where am I supposed to put it? So it comes in like photograph forms, words, feelings, and broken sentences. It's not like someone says, hello, this is your husband, Bob, and I want to tell you where I left the insurance policy. Oh, man, I wish it came out like that. I wish that it was that easy. But it's like once they transition into the other dimension, it's like a bad cell connection sometimes. It's like, and if you've ever listened to EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, you will hear it sounds like that. I was watching Ghostbusters the other night on TV, and one of their EVPs, you could hear, and you listen to it enough, finally you got it said Chesney or Chestnut. And it turned out it happened to be the pet name for someone, and their last name was close to the Chesney. So when you hear this distortion on these EVPs, it really is a great example of what we as mediums often hear. We have to ask, okay, it's like if you play a tape on the wrong speed, you get it all distorted and until you get it up to speed. And so when you're trying to determine this, sometimes you have to go, literally, I go, Dom, you got to raise the vibration, or do I need to lower the vibration? Something has to transcend here in the wavelength of this information because I'm hearing distortion. I'm not hearing, you know, the lost ring is behind the dresser drawer. I'm getting something, but I'm not getting all of that information that when we're sitting in the obvious audience wanting to receive desperately that message for our loved one, from our loved ones. And I'm no different than you. Trust me, when I'm sitting in that audience, I'm hoping with all my heart my brother or my mother will come through. Because as mediums, we have to seek other mediums to get our loved ones. Because when you're too close, your emotional vibration makes you nosedive and lowers your energy. That's why when you go into a setting with a medium, the more you can go in with your joyful memories, your happy memories, your love for that person, rather than your grief, you raise the vibration and make the communication easier. That's why it's so important to focus on what was really great about that relation. What were the uptimes? What was that person's laughter like? What was one of the funniest things they did? How do I keep them alive in my heart, in my soul, in my vibration? How much do I put energy into my communication with them also raises the vibration and the link for a medium. The more that you have those things rather than the 6 months or 5 months or weeks of misery and the sadness, that lowers your vibration. And it's just like the more depressed you are, the harder it is for a medium or spirit to get through, because they have to come down such a level to kind of raise your energy up to hook in. They don't want us to grieve, but they understand that it's a process, and we have to understand that too, that we have to allow that the stages of grief, the anger, the denial, the bargaining, the acceptance, and the depression. It's a process, and it's a lifetime process. No one can ever tell you when you're done. You have to find when you have come to a level of understanding for yourself. I don't think anyone's ever done with grief. I think if you're doing human and you lose someone, the emotional attachment is there, and you will get strength and harmony and understanding as the time goes on. But I think you will always miss them. You will always have a core connection with them. And so I tell people who are grieving, people ask me often, if I am talking to my loved one, if I'm calling out to them, if I'm asking them to communicate, am I keeping them from moving on? And the answer is no. That's part of their process too. Part of their spiritual work and process is to help you manage your grief, to get through your grief. And also, as we pray, as we talk to our loved one, every time you pray, it is really truly like giving someone a physical hug, but it's a cosmic energy hug. When we're here on Earth, we can say, I love you, and we can hug the person we care about. And I think it's very important to do that, to fix anything that is unfinished before someone transcends, for your highest good as well as theirs. It's so very important. And I say to a lot of my clients, do you have a bigger need to heal than to be right? My answer is always, I have a bigger need to heal than to be right. And when your parents or someone you love is ill or in their 80s, 70s and 80s, I really have a bigger need to heal, because the time that you have to repair any issues is now shrunken. And so you want to put that energy out. And sometimes we can't forgive things. People have had tragic childhoods, or, you know, people who have been alcoholics or into drugs. You can't forgive being abused or beat or those things necessarily. It takes a big soul to do that. But you can forgive their ignorance of not knowing better, and you can forgive that need to be right and be in anger and to heal yourself and to do what is right for your highest good, your soul, and not necessarily have to, you know, I'm going to call mom every day and everything's going to be okay like nothing happened. You know, sometimes that's an impossible thing. But you don't have to become the victim and play that over and over in your life until it ruins your life and the next generation. We can make different conscious choices. And ask spirit, angels, guides, masters, they will help you. But when you want to go, say you've had a great relationship. My mom was my mom and my best friend. She had me very late in life. She was 43 when she had me. So I lost her. I was very young. I was in my 20s when I lost her. And so I miss her all the time. Just because I'm a medium does not mean that I don't go through the grieving process, that I didn't wah and fire spirit. I got over it faster because I know that she was okay and I did have communication. But I still go, even when I go to John Holland's or I go to Celia Brown's or any of the workshops put on by Hay House or any other mediumship that I go to, I always hope that I will hear from my mother. I think that's human nature. And so 500 people with expectations of hearing from their loved one. I really think often because of the need of the vulnerability of people who have lost children, it's very, very devastating that cry or their the vibration is so needy that often they do get readings in many of these cases for healing. I also do believe, though, the more you go in with a joyful heart, the happiness, the good things that are connected with your loved ones, the higher the vibration is raised, the easier to tap in. So going back, it's very, very frustrating that, you know, there's 500 people and maybe they're lucky enough to give 20 or 25 readings. And so, again, you're waiting. Well, why don't they just say, you know, hi, I'm your husband, Bob, and all that? And it's really not like that at all. Once you are part of the energy of the person that is passed over, and you've connected with that energy, you are given the signs, the symbols, the personality, the feeling, the knowing, all of these things. It's like all your senses are on red alert. You're using all five of your senses, your sixth sense, and you're trying to keep your common sense out of it. You're trying to just give what you get in the purest form you can so you don't, as an individual, color it. And so all of these things are going on, plus you're aware of the audience, 500 eyes staring at you, people's eyes staring at you, and you're trying with all your heart to give this information. And it's like having the pieces to a big jigsaw puzzle laid out in front of you, not knowing which piece will give you that beginning edge to start to form the frame for the person to know that it's their loved one and to give them the healing they need. So think about it. If you've ever put together a jigsaw puzzle that's, you know, it looks like all of the colors are almost all the same and you're trying to figure out the picture, and in front of you, you've got the box. You're looking at the box going, I get at least what the picture is supposed to look like, but we as mediums don't have that picture in front of us. We're taking those bits and pieces and trying to find that edge that begins the corner of that jigsaw puzzle and gives a frame for the person that's living to go, you're with me. You've got my person, my loved one, and really give them the healing that they've come for. So there's so many aspects to this, to mediumship sometimes, that I realized that even though I'm really trying to be a great teacher and I want my students to develop, that I haven't given them all the pieces to the puzzle. And so John Holland has a set of four CDs out called Awakening Your Psychic Strength. You'll love it. I bought it. I think it's great. I play it in the background in my office when I'm trying to get my emails, because I think reinforcing and learning how other mediums get information really gives you new tools for your cosmic toolbox as well. And as I was at the workshop, I really also noticed that it's difficult, I think, as a medium to stand there and know the need. And I was thinking about if I was the one standing in there, it has to take doing it. I think just being in that position of standing in front of that many people and to get to a conscious level to know that you will give what Spirit gives you. You will go where they ask you, that they are the bosses in that time period that you're up there, and not the anticipation of the audience. And I know it's very difficult because people come to you afterwards and they said, why did they get the answer and not me? You know, I think when you're grieving too, you're not rational about the whole experience. You just expect it should be on command, and after all, I'm in such need that they should be coming to me. And why did that person get one and not me? And all this sadness. And so I'm often very taken aback when people say, you know, oh, so-and-so got so many readings and I only got five and everything. And I'm going, there's enough people who need mediumship, need clairvoyance, need help. There's enough for everyone, and the 10 people that someone gets are the 10 people that needed their type of work in mediumship. The 25 or 30 that someone else gets, or the 500. All of this is a process for helping Spirit to reach more people, to awaken them to understanding clairvoyance. And as we were talking, I was talking again to my students, we were talking about, I was trying to explain the different types of clairvoyance. And there's, I think, very many, many different types. But there's two main kinds, objective and subjective. And in objective clairvoyance, something not normally perceived through the physical sight is seen in such a way that there is an illusion of seeing it with the normal physical eyes. And that means it's almost, to me, like a vision. And most of the time, it's very outside of yourself. And in subjective, you merely have a mental image, something inside, or an imagination. In a way, it feels like your imagination, without any illusion that you're seeing it. The person or thing you're not seeing it as something outside yourself to be looked at. In getting the objective clairvoyance, your instinctively tendency is to, when you're getting it outside yourself, objective, you tend to turn your face and like you're really seeing it. But often you're really, it's really a vision. It's hard to explain it. It is inside you, but outside you at the same time. And so objective is really, truly, you will tend to turn your face towards it, where you would see it. You might, you know, see it as almost a holograph. In getting subjective clairvoyance, the natural tendency is not to direct your eyes anywhere, but to concentrate on the idea that is taking form in your thoughts. It's more internal. The important thing to realize about objective and subjective clairvoyance is this. The difference between them is really unimportant and is merely a difference in the way your nervous system reacts from moment to moment as you receive a psychic impression. Concerning a visible experience or a sensory experience, one is as real as the other, though the one gives you a sensation of seeing, and the other gives you the sensation of imagining or inner knowing. And so it's very confusing because sometimes they come in both. Sometimes both things are happening at once, and that's why people very much get confused. Because often when I'm getting information, getting things, I am seeing and sensing and knowing at the same time. So how do we separate that? And the truth is, I don't think we do, at least for me. I don't, in the moment, usually separate what it, to me, is something that's all in one in the moment. And I'm giving out what I'm seeing and what I'm sensing and knowing as if it is just one thing because they're so interconnected. So it's very sometimes confusing when you're getting it in that action. Some people are just sensor knowing, and so they know the person's personality. They will know or hear in themselves the kind of verbal thing that will happen. Spirit also just uses every means they can to get through to us. I noticed at this last workshop, John couldn't use the clip-on mic because it just wouldn't work on his energetic body. The energy, it kept tuning out, so he had to actually go to a handheld mic. Well, in our own lives, away from seeking mediums, because I really worry for people who are so in grief, especially at a loss of a child, they start medium hopping, you know, and you have to, I think, especially in the first throes of grief, it helps you. You go from medium to medium or experience to experience to help you deal with the level of grief. But what I worry about is often people get stuck in a cycle of the neediness of that and sort of become addicted to it. And it can retard the healing process through grief. So I really honor a lot of mediums who really talk to their clients about this pattern and this experience of that. It's to help you move forward. It's to help you deal with your grief. But it's also a good medium gives you tools to pay attention to signs and communication that happens. And I think since John Edward has been on TV so much, he talks about the tools and the ways and the means that people get communications from their loved ones. Sometimes it's the lights blinking. It's a telephone call. It can be things being moved in their house. It can be hearing their name called. It can be through dreams. Often people will have dreams. And I think you can have more than one form of this going on because I think their need to communicate and know you're all right is as much a need for you to know that they are all right on the other side. And so all of these are forms that will help the person. Last week when I was reading, I'm going to use a fictitious name, but I happened to see a name all like for 4 or 5 days. And and it was almost bothering me quite badly, because I'm going, like, everywhere I look, I'm seeing Bill. And everywhere I looked, I saw Bill, and I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean, and who do I know by this name? And so I called a friend who I knew had a son with that name who had gone to Iraq and come back, and I thought, well, maybe they're going to ship him out again or something. I don't know. I better check in with my friend, and I checked with her. Everything was fine. I said, man, I just, everywhere I go, I see this name. And I went to do a reading, and I started into the reading, and almost in mid-reading, I go, oh, this is the Bill. This is the guy, the person who was trying to get through, and this was a couple who had lost their son. And so even that spirit knew he had a date to get in touch with mom and dad, and knew that I was going to be the instrument, and was very obsessive about how they were going to get through. Now, having said all this about these incredible opportunities and ways that we communicate, I also want to talk about something that I just recently read in a book, and it kind of red flagged something for me, because I had been in a experience very similar to this, and I'm not going to say which book I read it in, but I actually had been to a public demonstration of mediumship where they were giving public readings. And so everybody wants to have, you know, their loved one to come through, but often, and you've seen it in John Edwards, John Holland, Sylvia Brown, sometimes those people will embarrass you. Now, they're not really trying to embarrass you. They're trying to give you information, credible information that you would know about. One of the funny ones was somebody's husband came through and said, you're using my old shorts as dust cloths. And, of course, this lady was a little mortified. She says, but it was true, she was. But what I really thought was a very interesting experience, and because a medium's just a telephone and they're trying to give the information, is, and when you stand up and say, you're with me and that's my loved one, you have given permission, and it's a public demonstration. Most mediums really try never to embarrass you. If they get information they feel that might be on the line, most of the time they will try and say, please come see me afterwards and I'll tell you something. Because our intent is never to embarrass. Our intent is to give evidential information. But in this book, this lady was talking that she was at a public demonstration. She was the medium giving the information. And lo and behold, she's giving this information. This lady says, everything you have said is with my husband. I mean, every single thing, except, I don't know, and I'm going to throw out a name that's not the real name, except Lucille. Why does he keep talking about Lucille? It just doesn't make sense. And she goes, I don't know a Lucille. I don't understand that. I mean, you know, that's just, everything's very accurate but that. A lady across the way raises her hand. She goes, I know everything that, I can take everything that you said, and I'm Lucille. I had an affair with a man that's exactly like that. Guess what? Cosmically busted after death. It was the man's wife and the man's mistress in the audience. Obviously, the person on the other side did not help discern with the medium to know that was what was going on. And because this was, these people were at an event not in the same town, neighbor, you know, where they lived, what are the odds that that would happen? And yet it did. And so sometimes you can get embarrassing information. So trying to discern and not do that, and I was at an event that same similar thing happened, was very shocking for everybody. And yet it showed how much there was actually took healing, because in the audience that I was in, the wife did know that the husband had an affair, and that had heard of the mistress, had not never met her, and actually they had a great healing over the whole thing. But it doesn't always work out that way. So sometimes, I was at one demonstration. I actually think it was John Holland again, where there were two people, and they were opposite sides of the room, taking the same information, And the one lady says, you know, that really sounds like my ex-husband, my first husband. And the other lady came out, got out of the aisle, walked down. She said, oh, my God, Muriel, so-and-so, yeah. And they couldn't see each other because they were on opposite the room with about 3,000 people. And sure enough, it was the husband coming through, and he was apologizing to the first wife. And he kind of said, well, you know, you helped train me so I'd be a better husband for the next wife. So interesting things like that happen. On the other side, you know, we give up the guilt and a lot of the trappings of this world. And so when we get to the other side, it is an instant sainthood. If you have been a person who's a drug abuser, alcoholic, angry person, you still have to experience what you have done to other people. You go through the past, your life review. You experience that. You start making different conscious choices to evolve. So just because someone died does not instantly make them a saint. That's why all mediums and teachers will tell you, when you're starting to develop, please set your intent. Who are you connecting to? Don't just connect again to 1-800-ANYBODY. But to try and connect with someone, if you want to do automatic writing or you want to do any form of mediumship, to set the intent, use white light, and start working in that medium and trust it. And ask for your gatekeeper, your angels, your guides, your gatekeepers to come, and to put that energy in to protecting you and strengthening your connection and knowing how that's going to work. The other thing I wanted to talk about is how do you help raise your energy? If you're going to an event like this and you're going to experience and you're hoping your loved one will come through, how can I as an individual start to help that medium on stage? One of the things that I would love to see them to start to do at these kinds of events is to take moments to do deep breathing and to get the audience a little more calm, and to get them in a mood of a upbeat, happy vibration, to raise the vibration. Often in spiritualist churches, they sing, because singing raises the vibration. But also, what does singing do? It makes you breathe. You have to take deep breath, and really you're trying to sing from your diaphragm, not from just your throat and chest area. So it's actually aligning your chakras when you sing. And so if you're going to these events, try and spend a few minutes to do some breathing, to be in your body, to align your chakras, to raise your vibration by thinking of happy things. What you loved about that person, one of the funniest times you had with that person. You know, when I go, I know lots of all my friends are going to have a big laugh over me collecting animal print and how, you know, crazy I am about being sort of, I always tell everybody I'm really a goddess. I'm just stuck in a 9-to-5 job or a spiritual job. And that, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm in the wrong time and space. I'm sure that many of you listeners feel that way, that, you know, you're not liking maybe your day job or what you think you have to do to bring in the money to manifest paying the bills. And yet inside of all of us are goddesses and gods, spiritual teachers and mentors and the magician. All of these are aspects of who we are. And so I'm sure that when I transcend, all my friends are going to have a diva party in my name. And I think that it would make me zone into that energy because it's a part of my personality. So by having these celebrations of life that we have now, not the, you know, the funerals like in my perhaps parents' generation and my grandparents' generation, which were not celebrations of life. Everybody wore black. Everybody was in such mourning and grief. They were expected to have all of those things and never talk about. People didn't talk about. My grandmother's generation, you didn't talk about the dead. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, pretend it didn't happen, and everybody's sad, but don't talk about it. In my generation, we have celebrations of life. We remember all the wonderful things. People will often tell stories about the funniest incidents or that the person was a jokester or remember when they did this or that. Or they talk about how they touched each other's lives. And these are the things that are so important to raise the vibration. And so it's important when you go to these events to set your intent. You know, I believe calling in your loved one, carrying something that your loved one had with you that is sentimental attachment to. That object carries vibration. That's why psychometry works, and you can hold an object and get information. And so it's really a good idea to bring an article, a photo. All of this helps to raise the energy as you want to contact. I think it's okay to also ask your spiritual, a person who's transcended, to queue up, to line up, to get in line and to be in attune and talk to them, being in attunement with the medium. So if when I go, I do ask my mother, please, you know, Mom, that John Holland's going to be the instrument. And so if it's for my highest good to hear from you and your highest good, I would like that to happen. But I also say, for me, if there's someone who has a greater need than me, dear spirit, let them have the space in line. Because I know my mom's okay, and for me, it's just a special bonus. For someone who's in deep grief, it's more important that they get the healing than me be selfish about my loved ones. And I often say to people who have had, you know, have been blessed and they've gone, say, and seen John Holland, John Edwards, Sylvia Brown, Gordon Smith, some very well-known mediums, and they've heard from their loved ones several times. I go, sometimes I think, I know you're still grieving and it's still a process, and you want that. But sometimes we have to give way for the other parents, other people who have not had that healing experience yet. And so sometimes our loved ones can step aside and send the energy and be the battery for the person who really does need that communication. I know often when I go to these things, I will set and send energy and say, let me be a battery for John. Let me send energy so that he can have a clearer line, a better connection. If by adding my vibration, by sending intent of higher vibration helps, and we know it works because we do it and practice it in seances. For more than 100 years, this has been practiced in many, many kinds of seances. So there are so many wonderful techniques that people can learn. And I really want to encourage you, if you're interested in developing your mediumship, whether it is a personal journey that you want to do mediumship, you want to teach it, look for spiritualist churches or my understanding is some universal churches even have, and unity churches even, some of those, have either classes, development classes on clairvoyance and intuitive, and then I know spiritual churches often have circles that are development beginning circles. And I'm not advocating being any of those religions. What I am advocating is to get some techniques, find some like-minded people, and put some energy in to intent and sitting and being in that energy and focusing. It really is a commitment to yourself to develop. If you want to develop, it's not just instant add water. I read one book, I went to three workshops, and so now I'm a reader, or I'm a medium, or I get this stuff. It really, truly, I believe, is a daily practice. It's a commitment between you and spirit to really, truly move forward and get answers to your questions. So, having said that, if you have questions about developing your mediumship or you have questions about what we've talked about today, I want to make sure and give you the phone number to call in, 1-877-876-5227. And the website is www.bbsradio.com. As well, I want to give you John Holland's website, which is www.johnholland.com. I know that he does a lot of workshops, and I think they're very, very valid workshops. I really, really like how his technique, and I think he's very much in integrity. People have a lot of questions. I was very glad my students were there, and I really have a hard time, in a way, calling them students because I think they really have evolved so much that they're now becoming colleagues. in many, many ways, although their journey is different. Some will do automatic writing. I have a wonderful lady called Phyllis in my class who is doing automatic writing and developing phenomenally, and gets from many, many different spirits. In fact, she gets information from my guide, Don Salas, Dom. And so I'm hoping Dom will write me a note. Maybe I'll get a message, Phyllis. Thank you. I hope I do. Because sometimes it really is nice to get some messages outside of ourselves. I have other people in the class who are developing transfiguration, where they go into trance. Transfigure, you'll see a face form over it. That is their form of mediumship. Phenomenal experiences. Robin, she is developing amazingly. So everybody has a different journey. There are other people in my class. It's their private personal journey. They're not ready to be public about it, for anyone to know about it. And that's safe, too, because I never try to ever, ever expose people's name publicly or their experience, because it is a journey for each individual. And all of us go in search of what is right for us. And every way that we move forward is different. Not everyone will be a professional medium. Some will, it'll be their private journey. It will be about contacting their loved ones, their daughters, their mothers, their brothers. It'll be about their personal communication with their angels. For me, a very long time, it was not, I had actually never intended to go public. For me, it was my journey with Dom, and how I had had him most of my life. And I never thought it would become something that I would help other people or do for other people other than my immediate family and my circle of friends. And as it started becoming more of a public thing, seeing how people were helped and healed, I don't think anyone was more surprised than me that it would take that avenue. And many of you know that my mother was very Southern Baptist, and I was not very long ago kind of going through, I really wonder what my mother would think today if she saw me doing radio, doing public workshops, and doing the kind of work I do as well as my ministerial work. And within a week, someone did brought my mother through with a communication about her seeing and knowing what I was doing. And I had not voiced this publicly. It was a private thing. I said, I wonder in my world, what would she really think? And the communication came through that she was a little surprised that I'd become a minister, you know. And I think that would be the way she would come through. And the other parts that she came through, that she was very proud of what I did and that she had a different viewpoint of it now. And there was some evidential information that's very private to me, but it validated that it was really my mother and that she had grown as I have grown, so that now there's this very comfortability of me talking to her now in a very confident way, because I caught myself holding back my emotional connection with her about my spiritual stuff, because I knew in life it was very difficult. It didn't fit in her box. It didn't fit in her frame of reference. And so there would be certain things I would still talk to her, spirit. I would talk to her in a certain way, and then yet when I would talk with the angels, guides, and master, I'd talk in a different way. Now it's like all those walls, all those things that were holding me back have just fallen down. So I talk to her about talking to the angels and how that is and how my life is going forward in this wonderful experience of spirit in all its forms, without the dogma of any particular religion, but in the true connection of spirit, one with each other. And so that was a gift to have asked that question in the privacy of my own office and say, Dear Spirit, please give me an answer somehow outside of myself, and that to actually have one of my students have that answer for me. So it is a gift, and I encourage you to keep a journal, to write things down, because sometimes you're getting messages and you don't understand, just like me seeing Bill all for 3 or 4 days and then winding up talking to the person that was connected with that Bill. And because I know any time you start seeing it 3 or 4 times, there's something there. Spirit's really trying to get the message across. And I tell people, you know, when you're communing with your angels, guides, and masters, pay attention. If you see pennies, they love to use nickels, dimes, and quarters. I don't know why they don't use larger amounts of money. But if you watch that movie Ghost, again, Patrick Swayze is moving the penny. Look up, ask Spirit, say, okay, show me the next part of this. If books come to you and you start getting a pattern in what you're reading, I know for a while I was getting stuff about crystal skulls, and I'd go, that's like the furthest thing from my work. I work with angels. That was really my big thing. I work with Dom and the angels, and like, what is this thing about these crystal skulls coming, and where is it, and can it go away? And it really what turned out to be a very interesting part of my life path, and went on for about 2 years. Wound up, you know, meeting the lady who owns Max the Crystal Skull, holding several different crystal skulls, and getting some connection of it with the past life thing. But we never know where Spirit's going to take us. What are your going to be your breadcrumbs, your pieces to the puzzle? So be open to asking, seeking. Know that you will have teachers and you will outgrow the teachers. You will move forward, expand. There's so many things and so many ways the door will open for you that you have no clue in this moment may be happening. And so remember to keep asking Spirit. And that's the thing I think people really forget. Sometimes I think I forget to break it down for my students to ask. Something will happen, even in class. And I will say to them, okay, you see someone standing in a campfire. And then if you get that, then ask what their message is. Ask the next thing. Sometimes it's a simple action of asking. Ask and it's given. Seek and you'll find. Those are the actions. But because we get startled, or because we're not used to asking, we're somehow in our mind have this deluded thing that, you know, we're going to get the inscription, right? We're going to get something that's black and white and tangible and tells us go from A to B to C. You know, we want something that tells us how to put our life together. You know, or tell me I'm on the path. You know, we want something in such a solid form. And that's not how it works all the time. We get bits and pieces. We get what we can handle at the time. And it's like being on the greatest scavenger treasure hunt you've ever been on. And if you could, in the moment, really enjoy the journey, you would find that being spiritual and making this conscious choice is such a wondrous adventure. It's something that truly enlightens you, enlightens your soul. And in the moments we can really be conscious about it, that we realize this is a conscious choice. I can choose to ignore this. I can choose to ignore the warning. You might not want to do that. Have you ever got up? I mean, I did this once, and I'll never forget it. I was working, and I was a sales clerk, and I went to work, and all day long I kept saying, oh, I don't want to go. I was supposed to dance in a parade, Middle Eastern dance in a parade, and I kept saying to my friend, I just don't know, I don't want to go. And yet I waited for months for this experience. I was so excited, jazzed, but and she said to me, you know, you must have said 20 times you didn't want to go. And I go, what is that about? I went off, and guess what? I snapped my Achilles tendon dancing in the parade. Spirit was trying to tell me, don't go, you really don't want to go, you might really not want to go. But my ego, don't you hate that ego some days, overrode that warning. And Spirit had worked very hard, because even when I started to go, I lost my key. And yet, I was so focused on the humanness of the moment, of the need to be involved in that, because I had built it up in my mind for so long, to go to that event, and if I had only listened, I could have saved myself a lot of pain and a lot of journey that I didn't like so well. But I have to say, even in that, I learned an incredible amount. I learned how compassionate people are in the street. I learned an incredible amount about who was my friend and who wasn't my friend. It was an incredible journey, although I did not like the cosmic 2x4. So today I hope that I've opened new ways of you looking at mediumship, looking at how you commune with your own spirit, being more open when you go to these events where you want a medium to communicate with your loved one. If you're going to have a reading with a medium, ask them what helps them to connect. Does it help them by you going into prayer before? I pray for all of my clients every morning before I do my readings. It's just my journey, part of my pattern, how I raise the vibration, how I connect. That's why I ask for their names, first names. And so every medium's a little different, but most of them will be very glad to say, oh, that would be lovely if you would connect and pray for your loved one and pray for me. Put me in touch already with your loved one. Maybe the night before you go to sleep, put your loved one's picture under the pillow and really concentrate on the things that you loved about that person. Try to stay away from the negative things, so, you know, the difficulties of passing or unfinished business. That will come up and be taken care of in the reading. But what was the things that gave you the most joy? If you can stay in that moment and be connected and say, dear spirit, as I go to sleep tonight, I would like you to connect Atira with my loved one so that they are already on the same avenue, the same plane, and so it can be a clear and wonderfully loving and healing connection for all of us. May all of our energies and vibrations be in harmony for this experience, or whoever you're going to. And it's a gift in that moment. Every time you pray for a person, you receive a gift, and so does the person. If you've ever really lay in bed at night and concentrate on the ceiling, you will start seeing energy come into you, people that are praying for you or sending love or thinking about you. It comes in different forms. For Mary Ellen, it comes in little pink hearts. For me, it comes in sort of turquoise, kind of shimmery northern lights energy. Everything comes in because everything is energy. It cannot be destroyed. So know that you have an impact on the world. Remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of your angels until we talk again.